Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Right, before we get into this podcast, thank you very much for listening. Make sure you hit subscribe. But also, we've got a couple of brilliant offers for you that I just want to share with you. Some people that help make our podcast possible. Firstly, Cornerstone, purveyors of the finest razors you can get.
According to us.
Yeah, in our opinion, the finest. I mean, they've won awards in the past. We tell you they're great, but just give it a go.
And do you know why they're so good, Tim? Because they spend their money on developing razors, not on expensive lawyers,
or not on mass marketing TV adverts.
Exactly right.
Instead, they say, "Do you know what? Let's tell Tim, JB, and Phil just to give us a mention because the people that listen to them know their onions."
Exactly right.
So we have got a great deal for you. Give Cornerstone a go, the original mail order razor company, not one of these Johnny Come Latelys that are trying to do what Cornerstone have been doing for years. And these Johnny Come Latelys that have their plastic razors.
Ugh, awful.
Why would you have a plastic razor when you can get a...
Who knows?
You can get an amazing aluminium shaft engraved with your initials. You can get your starter pack, your six precision engineered razors in a presentation box delivered to you for... £4.
Amazing.
Less than the cost of a pint. £4. Unless you go to you're drinking Wetherspoons, yeah, then it's a pint
pints.
And a half.
2 pints in Wetherspoons. Or half a pint on some rooftop bars. So you know, it depends where you drink.
Exactly. £4 by going to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. That's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. I would. And also, quickly, get yourself a beautiful merino wool egg chasers jersey. In that in-between season stage we're in at the minute, you want something that's going to keep you cool if you have one of those Indian summer warm days, or actually it's going to keep you warm when there's a slight chill in the air.
How does it know?
Merino wool, it's just clever like that.
Yeah.
It's you don't want a two-tone jersey, you want a two-temperature jersey, and that's what we got for you in the wonderful egg chasers colours with our crest. Go and get it from akumashops.com/... Egg chasers.
Fantastic.
Right, let's get on with the pod. Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. I'm just going to get straight into it because there are loads of these episodes going to be popping up during the World Cup. Just get subscribed and we can get into the rugby and we'll keep them coming in your feed. And I'm Tim, that's JB, that's Phil.
Hello, Timothy.
Hello, we've had
a little bit of a breather since our last podcast.
Not me, I'm still bunged up.
caught up on a bit of the NFL action and just had a little bit of a chat and a cup of tea, but we are back. A Q&A pod, I'm going to broadly call this. It will meander in different directions. We'll get to predicting and talking about the other games in a bit. JB will have a special Premiership Rugby Cup section at the end.
So this is outrageous, right? You were at a Premiership Rugby Cup game this weekend.
All right.
Buying your trade. And this is the amazing bit, which we're ignoring. Even though the World Cup is on, Sandy Park was pretty much full.
Yeah, that was incredible.
That is incredible.
That is amazing.
Like, the AJ Bell wasn't full, but it was pretty much more busy than normal.
Yes. I mean,
people were going out to watch club rugby during the World Cup. That is important.
That is one of the beauties of the games being in the morning. And I have to say, I watched the games today, Sunday as we record. I watched the... Ireland-Scotland game and the England-Tonga game. I watched that at Marlow Rugby Club. I was staying with some friends who live in Marlow. Their kids go to Marlow Rugby Club. This says everything about rugby. My lad Louis is at the under-12s for our local team.
Who's your local team?
Broughton Park.
Whatever.
He went to Marlow. We were staying there. And he just went, do you reckon I could train? He went along, spoke to the coaches, said, can I join in? They were like, yeah, come on in.
Awesome.
Come and have a session. Brilliant session. They've got barbecues and stuff. They've got TVs outside, TVs inside, barista getting the proper coffees on. The place was packed. Brilliant atmosphere. It was that's what I would say. Even if you don't go to your local rugby club because maybe you've stopped playing, if your kids don't play or whatever, but whatever the case, just get to your local rugby club for some of these games because there'll be stuff going on near. There'll be stuff going on near you.
We at Didsbury. I mean, one of the many things I love about playing at Didsbury Talk H training at 8 o'clock.
Where's the gong?
Where's the gong?
Is the amount of people that we get down just to have a beer, just to watch either whether it be on the minis on a Sunday or you know during Saturday for ones and twos. It's absolutely phenomenal, and that's exactly what you should be doing because it's a great way to spend your Saturday.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There we go. Community rugby done.
Totally.
Box ticked. Difficult interviewing the young lad?
We talk about Premiership Rugby Cup in a bit.
Oh, come on!
We've got the World Cup. We can touch on it, but come on, we should prioritise.
But what about the two Dupreez that played?
Phil has prepared a World Cup quiz.
Simon Hammersley played.
The Hammer, Lord Hammer of Hammershire. Phil has prepared a World Cup quiz. Come on, Phil.
We have got a World Cup quiz. So this was
Saracen's Kids battered Wasps.
A decent Wasp side
as well. Saracen's Kids. Anyway, God.
So this is a World Cup quiz that was specifically written for our live show, but because we had so many great questions and everything else, so much other good stuff going on, and JB's hashtag JB2020,
which we need to talk about actually, campaign. I've done nothing about it, and I think I might miss the deadline.
What?
So it's been postponed for a couple of weeks. So the format is slightly different to normal.
Yes,
it is going to be a fastest finger first.
Oh,
like
Should we say our name?
Yes.
Okay.
So you can shout out your name.
In fact, no. Let's pick something else. Can we have our buzzer as
Why don't we do the old university challenge thing and you just got to shout the name of your school as loud as you can.
St. Bartholomew's Newbury.
Yeah. No. Rugby club. There you go.
Talk H.
Rugby club.
What was your club?
Really. I'm a new. Newbury Rugby Club's my rugby club. Yours is Colwyn Bay.
Colwyn Bay.
So Colwyn Bay and Newbury. Okay.
Perfect. Shall we have a little practice then?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Newbury.
Bidmore, Colwyn Bay.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I will accept Newbury. Okay. So I will decide. Shout out. You both might shout at the same time and I will decide who was fastest.
Okay.
First question. And we got 10 questions in this. First question. Which New Zealander joins Jason Leonard with the most Rugby World Cup appearances on 22?
Beardmore Colwyn Bay?
Beardmore.
Ooh, crikey. I'm going to go with Reed. Kieran Reed.
Incorrect. For the steal?
Newbury. Okay, you said joins.
Which New Zealander joins Jason Leonard with the most Rugby World Cup appearances on 22? So Jason Leonard and one other person have 22 Rugby World Cup appearances.
Richie.
Correct.
You saying joins made me go. Maybe this is someone that's just got it. We're just about to get
joined,
it. No, it's fine. No, you're right. You're right. That's fine. I'll take the point. Thanks.
So this was written prior to this World Cup.
Yes. Okay.
I've not actually updated it, but I don't think it should change anything.
That's cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Question number two. Using the Rugby Championship and Six Nations as the defining factor of Tier 1 nations, which is the only Tier 1 nation never to have progressed beyond a Rugby World Cup?
Bidmore, Italy.
Correct.
What were you going to say? Beyond a
pool stage.
Oh, I was waiting for you to say. Yeah, okay. Damn it.
Here we go.
Okay. Question number three. In Rugby World Cup years, the World Rugby Player of the Year has always won the World Cup, with the exception of 2011, when the winner was only a finalist. But who was it?
Oh, that's a World Player of the Year. So, Beardmore, Coleman Bay, Stephen Larkham.
In 2011.
It was France, wasn't it?
Yeah. I was thinking the England World. Oh, what an idiot.
Shit, who were the French players then? Oh,
don't know why I got 2000.
You're going to have to worry.
Newbury. Oh, God, it's the French player in 2011. The little scrum half.
You're going to have to...
Jean-Baptiste de la Saud? No, it was not him.
Yashvili?
Incorrect.
Who was it?
It was the captain and...
Fabien Pelous.
In 2011.
2011, oh.
It's Thierry Dussatoir.
Oh, of course it was. Oh, he did all those tackles.
Unbelievable performance in the final.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Question number four.
Damn it.
So it's currently Tim 1, JB 1. Question number four.
Of course it was.
What year was the last Rugby World Cup to only have 7 substitutes?
When was the last year? It would have 7. Okay, so.
Newbury. 2007.
Incorrect.
A bit more common, babe. 2003.
Incorrect. In the 2012-2013 season.
Oh, it went from
was
7
when
to 8.
Changed to have 2 prop reserves.
Wasn't it?
Yes. Oh. Much more recent.
Okay, next.
Question number 5. Who finished 3rd? In the 2015 tournament, beating Argentina in the bronze final. 2015, 3rd place team.
Beardmore, Coleman Bay, South Africa.
Correct.
Do you remember where we watched that?
In Bristol.
In Bristol.
I was on holiday.
Yeah,
no one cares about the third place.
I was
place
on
game.
Holiday. Yeah, I watched the final in Greece.
Let's watch Bath versus Harlequins.
Harlequins, yeah.
Oh, is that the Dave Ward day?
Dave Ward day. Dave Ward missed all of his practice lineouts, which was hilarious.
No opposition.
Wardy!
Maybe a bit of goading.
Maybe a bit of goading.
I'm not very good at this.
It's been
all... It's like as an athlete, I'm built for endurance, not speed. I don't like the quick fire nature of it.
Okay. Question number 6.
Okay, here we go.
Which stadium hosted the Rugby World Cup final in 1987.
Newbury. Eden Park.
Correct.
Good of course, one. The bow ties.
Good one. Which makes it 2-2. Question number 7. Which Tier 1 team, referring to our previous definition for Tier 1 teams, has suffered the most defeats to Tier...
Benwell, Coleman Bay. Italy.
Incorrect.
Oh.
Can you complete the question?
Which Tier 1 team has suffered the most defeats to Tier 2 opposition at the Rugby World Cup?
Newbury. Wales.
Ah, that's a great shout.
Correct.
Yes!
2 losses to Samoa in 1991 and 1999 and a loss to Fiji in 2007. So, 3-2.
Fine.
Question number 8. Only one member of the South African squad who won the World Cup in 2007 is still in this year's...
Newbury.
Tim Cocker.
Franz Steen.
Correct.
No!
Yes!
Correct.
Come on!
That's 3 on the bounce after saying you're not built for speed.
Yeah.
With 2 questions left, so that makes it 4-2 with 2 questions left.
Come on!
Question number 9. Although games were played across multiple countries, which country was the official host of the 1999...
People call me Wales.
Phil didn't give his say who he...
I didn't say who Oh, what do I do now?
Give the point to the victor.
Who do you think got the buzzer first? We can go...
Oh, no, because it's more complicated than that.
And now, right, as you're listening, I want you to hit the back 15 seconds and...
There's no
just
way.
Know, this is... This is Wales v Fiji. This is Wales Fiji, not Wales Fiji. This is Australia Fiji and Argentina France all over again.
It is Wales. So.
I was going to say Wales.
Give me the points.
JB gets the points.
Outrage! I thought you were better than that, Phil.
Go to the final question, number 10. Who is the only player to make his international debut? Debut.
People call me Dusan.
Full name?
John Mark.
Correct.
Yes, John Mark Dusan.
This is an outrage. Absolute outrage.
Yes.
It's a draw, officially.
Outrage. Robbed.
There we go.
Do not edit it. Do not edit it. That's fine. Let the results stand, because that's what it's all about. Fiji have to swallow it. Argentina have to swallow it.
Look,
I should have answered more of the questions myself.
Exactly.
Better earlier in the quiz. But nevertheless, go back and listen. I'm telling you, I hit that buzzer first.
I was just concentrating on the game. I was controlling my controllables.
Damn it. Right, okay, good quiz, Phil. Well done. That was great. Right, and by the way, contacteggchasers@gmail.com. We have had some stuff sent through, one of which I quickly forwarded to myself and deleted because I didn't want you guys to see it. That will come on on another episode.
Okay, very good.
There's some good stuff being sent. contacteggchasers@gmail.com. Right. We've had loads of people getting in touch on Twitter. So just before we get into the games that we're looking forward to, let's get to a few of these questions.
Okay.
Right. There's someone here. It's just Idris Croft has tweeted to @RugbyPodcast saying he was at a wedding this weekend in Spain.
Nice.
Again, it must be a sad, sad time for Spain.
The
whole country in mourning over not being part of the World Cup.
Yeah.
He asked for an Aperol. They said they'd run out of Carver, and they suggested a Negroni. After hearing about it on the pod, I thought it would be fun. I was wrong. And a picture of... picture of him.
Nice.
Looks a good Negroni anyway.
It does look a good Negroni. Okay. Right, yeah. Oh, sorry, God, I should have... Okay, hold on.
So I've got...
Based on today's performance, do you think England are... Just, we'll do these quick fire. Do you think England are set to banish the spectre of 2015?
If that means getting out of the group stages, I think... Yes, probably. If it means win the World Cup, no.
I think the more interesting question is how far will England go? They can't do any worse than last time round.
It would be impressive to do worse than
last
time.
Do you know what? They're quite unlucky in a way, because you have to be unlucky to get the group where you could potentially go out. Because there's only ever going to be one group with three tier ones in.
The other one's going to have Italy in it.
Yeah, one proper group.
Japan, according to the world rankings, are a top 12 team. So
okay, fine.
It does depend on your definition. If you have a top 12 or if you have the rugby championship.
There's always going to be one with like two Six Nations teams. Yeah, or two. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The point is, they've got an unlucky draw, so it's completely feasible that they go out again.
Should Kieran Reid be cited, says Will Butcher?
Yes. I don't know what for, but yes.
It was a little video clip that's doing the rounds, and it was at a line out. And I think, more than anything, it just shows how savvy New Zealand are.
I love Kieran Reid so much.
Almost doing like NFL blocking a lot of the guys in the line out to stop people flooding through.
Yeah.
And in Kieran Reid's case,
it a bit too far.
Takes it a bit further. I don't think it would be a red card offence. So no, it shouldn't be cited. It would have been a penalty if the ref had seen it.
I'm actually happy that it has been brought up. I don't think it should be cited because it wouldn't be a red card offence because of the severity of the force. I'm happy it's been brought up because they'll have to be on their toes a bit more with their streetwise approach.
So if Nigel Owens is rugby's John Burko, okay. I would say that, and I'll explain that reference later. I would say that Kieran Reid is rugby's Justin Trudeau, which is he plays the part, right, of someone who is incredibly nice, incredibly sporting, but that's just a thin veneer because beneath it, he is about as savagely competitive as you can possibly be. If there was a way to cheat or bend, I mean, not cheat, that's no. To get an advantage
by any means possible.
He would do it, and that is not a criticism. That's what he needs. That's his job. That's what he should be doing.
That's why he has been one of the best in the world for the last 10 years.
One of my favourite ever Kieran Reid moments was Lions, Sam Warburton gives away what looks like a stone cold penalty. And the mic's picking up going, hey, Sam, you know, that's... that's just rugby. And you know, taps him on the arse. Next thing you know, the message comes down from the CMO. Yeah, scrub Lions. What, ref? What, sir? What?
You can't do this. You can't do this.
Oh, I thought it was just rugby, Kieran. I thought that's just how the cookie crumbles. So the answer is yes, cite him. Cite him every game. He's up to something.
Next question.
Anthony Green just says, this is mainly about the TV coverage. Why is the Rugby World Cup logo so big on the screen?
Because it's a great logo thought of by brilliant people.
I quite like it.
I don't mind it either. Also, he says, way too much spider cam. It's hard to see what's going on and it makes me feel sick. A lot of other people I've seen talking about the choice of replays, and there's a lot of slow-mo replays. There's usually a host broadcasting team which do the whole lot, or at least there's one team that are doing the feed for everybody.
Yes, selecting which shots are being
And the style of it leads me to believe that a lot of the games are being done by French because they love their
arty slow motion.
The other flip side of it is, I know this is one thing that I can imagine at a World Cup a lot of people are very sensitive to, is if you go after the salacious-looking slow-mos of potential issues, and then that leads to referees making decisions, it could be viewed that you're having an impact on the game. And I know that I know that broadcasters have to be very careful about that.
So a couple of things here. Firstly, the super slow-mo, I'm pretty sure only exists because TV companies producing HD TVs paid bungs to directors to put them in. Second of all, spider cam shots are awesome, but only as a replay. So I don't like them in live.
Yeah.
But when they have them, you're watching the anatomy of a try, they're awesome because it gives you a different view and a different look at how, the move was set up and whatnot.
Yeah, you can see the play move, particularly for backsline moves.
Yeah,
you can see
brilliant.
The player movement.
Oh, yeah. Actually watching a scrum from a is brilliant as well.
Okay, this one says, it talks about, again, about the TV coverage. So let's just broadly your thoughts on ITV's coverage so far. But this Joe Lord points out at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. He says, so there was the pick-and-roll offside decision in the French-Argentina game. There was the French player not rolling away when France stole the ball to win at the end. I agree, that should have been a penalty to Argentina as well.
Yeah, that's fine.
He says, and then two huge decisions at the end of the game, which were crucial, and ITV spend their entire time talking about, well, they spent a lot of it. He's in Joe Lord's words, ITV eulogise about Johnny Wilkinson's drop goal from 13 years ago instead of highlighting these issues.
I will say this, he is onto a point here. During the Tonga game today, one of the guys doing the commentary just kept on talking about England over and over again, as if he had no idea who Tonga were, where they, where the players came from, where they played. Some of the things they were saying about, they were talking about like kick chase at one point, and actually we were looking at pictures of a ruck, and it's like Mario Toji's so good at the kick chase because now here he is rucking. It just wasn't very joined up, but on the whole, I think it's been excellent. I think it's been excellent, and I particularly like the demonstrations in studio
In socks.
Yeah, I assume they're in a very very sacred temple in Tokyo somewhere.
Yeah. It's called Made Stone.
Yeah,
I think it's very.
It sounds enchanted. To be fair, on the whole, the ITV coverage.
By the way, that's in the ancient province of Kent. I think it's called.
Wow. The ITV coverage is usually pretty good. And actually, that was only a one-off on the England game. Anything with Nick Mullins in, I'll watch that.
Yeah, Stuart HS on Twitter says, brilliant games, and it was a great weekend of rugby. The matches were great. He said,
what's the question?
Mullins, Ugo and Ben Kay are like a warm, reassuring hug of a commentary team. For anyone that watches the BT Sport, generally, I can totally get that. And they're great.
And Flats on the sideline too, which is excellent.
Yeah. He said, Paul Williams has just become my favourite ref of all time, and Japan can certainly put on a brilliant World Cup. So it's not a question, but a nice positive.
What would agree with all that?
What would Grayson Jr. say to that?
Grayson Jr. would say, Is there a question?
Yeah. What's the question?
He'd say that to me in front of a live audience and the whole stadium full of people that are listening.
Can you get me that drop?
Yeah, probably. Richard Cooper says, here's a question. Is 5 a.m. too early for a beer?
No.
He said, obviously on the proviso, you're not still out or at an airport where it's compulsory.
Or operating heavy machinery.
Yes, and you've not got to drive.
Yep.
Or look after young or infirm people.
Infirm people, yep. But other than that, it's fine.
Fine, crack on.
Okay, hold
on. It may be too early for a Negroni.
Maybe not, though.
Maybe not.
I'd say it was definitely not too early for something like smoked salmon, scrambled eggs and Prosecco.
Prosecco or a Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary would be excellent.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Should there be a bias test people need to pass before tweeting, says Jabmeister.
No.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This one from Rob Brian Smith. How many points will France beat England by? I could have sworn JB would have written that.
I would say France are going to beat England by 2 points. Last minute kick, heartbreak.
Last minute, Camille Lopez drop goal again, like they beat Argentina.
Imagine.
Adam Godelman says, is the line-out throw becoming the new scrum feed? Countless throws were not straight and seemingly ignored.
No, but I will say something else. Much like resourcing the ruck, we've got the cheating line.
Talk to me about this. Is this something people are mentioning?
I have never heard of a cheating line in my life. I've only played...
Where's this coming from?
Hugo called it the cheating line.
What, is that an offside line?
No, it's when you run next to your winger for an inside pass. The cheating line. I've got a feeling it comes from the same... Yeah, don't ask me. It doesn't make any sense. No. I think it comes from the same stable as the as resourcing the ruck, and hopefully it'll go back to that stable pretty soon.
But sorry, what's the move? What's happening? When
so there's... Phil's darting down the wing, yeah. And then I sort of crab along, and I run that inside arcing line, and that is the cheating line. Now, whether it's a rugby league...
It's not the line to almost block a tackler. So you're running... Just in front of, consistently just in front of or to the side of a defender who's trying to get across.
Manu ran the cheating line.
So I think it's like, I think it's a light-hearted thing that a winger would say. So if a winger has just got straight line, unbelievable speed, and someone keeps up by running diagonally across.
Yes.
So not running the same distance.
Yeah.
Then maybe it's just, you can imagine a winger saying that. Oh yeah, you can only keep up with me because you're running across the pitch. Not...
That could be it, but let's not make that a thing.
Okay, fair enough. Well, resourcing the ruck went away.
Thank goodness.
This is an interesting one, which is off the World Cup for a second. But David Mullin has said there's an email been sent around, and I'm assuming this has been sent to just around generally to clubs.
Okay.
But at Premiership and Championship level, so this is from the RFU. A concerted effort has been made over the last 2 years to enforce game values and the rugby core values of teamwork, respect, enjoyment, discipline and sportsmanship. Blah, 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 blah,
not
blah.
Not interested.
Unfortunately, at levels below the elite of the end of the game, a dramatic increase has been seen in players appealing. For example, throwing arms in the air to seek a decision, generally back-chatting or challenging and questioning a match official when a decision has been made. It is now time to enforce a and this is in bold capitals, zero tolerance approach to this activity. And we ask that you ensure that this important message is relayed to all of your match officials. So this is obviously to referees.
Oh, interesting.
Probably going to clubs as well. I imagine local clubs will be getting some
I've
as well.
I've got a story for you.
So that
sounds good. That sounds positive.
Yeah. So
no, I don't like anything which says zero tolerance.
Yeah, maybe zero tolerance, but the appealing yeah, and like, back chat.
Yeah, so if someone knocks it on, you often say he's knocked it on, sir.
So waving arms during live play or appealing, calling for decisions, e.g. holding on or giving the referee back check following a decision, the process to follow...
Okay.
The processes to follow are... the referee's process to be applied at all levels is simple. What first occasion a player spoken to, this could be during live play. Second occasion, the captain will be warned. Third occasion, team penalised.
All right. So
if it's serious enough, maybe penalised on the first occasion.
Right. So what do you do then? Because I'm never going to appeal because it's stupid. But I could be a ruck and instead of saying, sir, is it, he's not letting go or holding on, sir, holding on. I might shout at the player on the floor, release, 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 release. Is that
appealing? Oh, I used to do that all the time as a player. I used to like semantically get around actually doing the back chatting by saying things like, great turnover. Yes, yes, Jay.
Yes.
Great
exactly.
Body position, Jay.
Exactly right.
So you're still influencing the referee, correct. But you're not aiming it at the ref.
That's just a smart way around it.
Yeah, that's so. I'm going to tell you a story now. Refing,
I don't mind that.
It's something I saw. It definitely was not me that did this. It's something I saw. there were a couple of props, one of which wasn't doing so well in the scrimmage, and the opposition prop to the team that I was on went down, and the prop went over to the ref and said, "Sir, look, I don't want to say this in front of the lads, but between you and I, I think you took a bit of a head knock. You probably want to get him, you know." Get him seen off. In fact, when he went down, he was really unsteady. He might have knocked himself out. The ref acted on that intel and removed the player from play.
I mean that
is unscrupulous,
yeah. Isn't it?
It's, that is almost as unscrupulous as the time a club in Greater Manchester missing its star tight head prop in a relegation battle flooded the field with a
water
on a freezing night.
I've never heard such disgraceful antics. I hope whichever club it was got their comeuppance.
It's a shame there's no way to find out.
Yes, let's hope there is no way to find out.
Yes,
I'm sure none of the clubs we were ever involved in would have ever done that, would they, JB?
I don't think so.
Would they, Phil?
Absolutely
yeah, not. Never.
Not to my knowledge.
Not,
not
that I can recall. Right. So anyway, thank you. At Rugby Podcast, there's loads more I haven't got through. We'll get through them all, but I need to write them down because there's so much stuff coming in. It's hard to...
It's like a newsroom.
Yeah, it is. I need to get the wheat from the chaff. So anyway, I'd like to do that little Q&A section. So just if you can end it with a question, that'd be great. A question mark. And I will get that little Paul James Grayson.
Yeah, that'd be
James
good.
James Grayson played reasonably okay actually at the AJL this weekend.
By the you
can cover that much later if you want.
Which, by the way, there was a Jomo on the field and a de Glanville on the field for Bath. The legacy 15 is really fleshing
brilliant.
Out. There's a lot of sons of players that are looking quite good.
Well, Tom Curtis at Sale is the son of Dean Schofield. And he is coming through the ranks now, very high, very highly rated.
I think
as fly off,
excellent. That's good. Yep. There's a lot of them in those positions.
Yeah.
Well, it's weird that they come from those positions, isn't it? Like particularly if your old man was like a second row or something, and then all of a sudden you're playing fly half. Because I guess if you brought up with it, that's the natural place to play.
Mm-hmm.
Although interestingly, the Dupriers, their father was a scrum half, and they are mutants.
Big scrum half.
They're not. Hold on. Which Dupri? No, not. Oh, I was going to say he's not old enough. He's not 40. No,
no,
obviously not.
No,
obviously
no,
not. Jeez, no, he would have been getting busy very early.
It's the Dupri who certainly was, probably still is, the coach of the Sharks.
Yes. Yes, and maybe a French team soon. Who knows? yeah, these boys are unbelievably huge, and their father was a scrum half, so it works both ways.
Interesting. Right. So, let's look ahead to the games. Obviously, by the time people listen to this, Wales may have already played, but nonetheless, how do you see that one going? You picked up on a good point on the last podcast, Phil, where you said England had the greatest, might have had the greatest winning margin, but they had the greatest differential in terms of world rankings.
Yeah.
So just what's your gut feeling? Do you think Wales will have a larger winning margin or a smaller winning margin than England Tonga against Georgia?
My gut feel is smaller.
If you're a betting man, which way would you go?
If Rob Howley's in charge of that attack, smaller winning margin.
Which way would Rob Howley go? That's it, yeah. That's the important part.
Well, silver lining. At least he can crack on now.
Yeah, yeah. Really get into his betting.
I'm joking.
Yeah, I can't see this being the highest scoring game.
Mm. I can, actually. I really can. Reason being is Wales are really good, and although they don't score much, maybe Jones comes in, tries to put his mark on the game, although maybe he's more disciplined than that. The real thing I'm thinking is Italy hammered Georgia, and more recently, Scotland hammered Georgia.
Scotland, yeah, and Scotland pulled away towards the end of the game in both those games.
So I wouldn't be surprised to see them do substantially better than England. That said, and I've said it, watch Georgia pull off the shock of the tournament.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I think that the Tier 2 nations that we've seen so far have performed really admirably.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that makes sense. They're coming in with all their focus being on this first game. They're giving it everything. I think there will be some big, big scores later. But in this opening round, I kind of think it will be comparable, similar, but I'll say slightly less.
So, okay. I've just had a thought. Can I talk about my thought? Quickly, no. Let's do this first.
So that's Wales. So that's fine. We can talk about how Wales get on. I don't think, given that Wales have got much bigger tests ahead, it's worth really. We can dissect it afterwards rather than talk
it's
about
the,
it.
Only the one game tomorrow, is it not?
No. Yeah. Oh, is that right? Yeah. And one game on Tuesday.
One game Tuesday. One game Wednesday. Two games Thursday. And is there any on Friday? Actually, just looking. Anyway, let's have a look. So Tuesday. Oh, I've just lost the page I was looking at.
It's Russia.
Russia versus Samoa.
Not Spain versus Samoa.
So, yes. So, not Spain
Samoa's
having...
Samoa's first game, not Spain's games. Second game.
Yeah. I think Samoa should have a fairly handy win in this.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, actually. Yeah, I'll go with that. Right, I've had a thought, and it's a thought which we've all thought previously discussed, but actually now we're in the World Cup, it's a good time to bring it up again. How good would a Tier 2 or a World Shield be to play alongside the World Cup?
Yes. Oh yeah, of course, yeah, absolutely it would be. Much like the Sevens competitions do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would you not do it?
Well, the reason it doesn't happen, and it hasn't happened already, will be to do with, again, follow the money. Follow the money. The answer is always by following the money. And follow the money, and what do you have? You have club owners shelling out huge amounts of money on players' wages, and on the occasion where a big nation like France or England or whatever don't get a side through to the quarterfinals of the World Cup, you then tell... what's the guy's name at Toulon?
Well, okay.
What's the guy's name at Toulon?
Bujalal.
You tell Bujalal or Bruce Craig, oh yeah, no, England didn't qualify. England, France didn't qualify for the... the quarterfinals, but we're still going to keep England for another four games anyway.
But
three games,
it does. I mean, yes, you are completely right,
and that's what it comes down to.
I think of Sale Sharks, and you know, they want
really,
yeah, and they want AJ McGinty back ASAP. Of course, they do, makes sense, but actually, it's not that much of a that's not that much extra commitment because, you know, half of those teams which we keep in go home anyway after the second round, so it would be. And, you know, the bigger picture, that's what grows the game.
You tell Nigel, how many Saracens got? 7, 8 players in the England squad? And Maitland as well?
Yeah, and Duncan Taylor.
Duncan Taylor.
But on the assumption...
And Vincent Cock, T.T. Lamasatelli. Figolo. You suddenly tell Nigel Ray, you know those 12, let's say 12, you know those 12 players in your squad? Yeah, we're going to have most of them for a whole nother month.
But also, Nigel, next time you go to... Philadelphia or New York, you'll be playing in front of a full stadium. So, you know, flip a coin. That'd be my counter to it. I do see what you're saying.
I'm not saying I wouldn't like it. And when we saw the crowds at the England in 2015, they were incredible, and easily England would sustain the next tier level. And by the look of it, Japan would as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Possibly not New Zealand. Possibly.
I mean, it does add a lot of expense, doesn't it, to the travelling teams? I mean, I don't know what the USA coffers look like, but you know, just keep all their guys up there.
Would the television money be big for it?
I would watch it. Don't know what that means about me.
Yeah, it's probably... It would have a small increase. It's not going to be a significant increase. We would definitely watch it. Because you'd stack the games as well. Because once you flip to quarterfinals and beyond, you only play on Saturday and Sunday. So you'd stack the games, so you'd have a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You could have
In some ways, I'd be more interested in that tournament.
There'd be some significant logistical challenges because, I mean, how many people are going to buy tickets to the Shield Trophy?
A lot, I'd guess. And do you know who's going to win it?
The Shield quarterfinals.
Yeah, I mean,
there's not going to be huge numbers.
But do you know who would win it every year? The tier two. So
2015 England would have won it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, can you imagine? I mean, that is glorious in itself, isn't it? Watching England go into...
I'm not sure. I think what would have happened in 2015 is England just play... I mean, they probably still would have done well, but they would have played their second team.
Potentially.
Well, no, because they'd have to swap out the squad. You'd have to send home all of your good players and then bring in lesser players.
Yeah. And you can only officially send them home for compassionate or injury reasons.
Well, but
so you might have like a...
I mean, I guess heartbreak is fairly compassionate. It'd be glorious to watch England play in 2015 World Shield tournament. And they would back themselves at home, I guess.
We back ourselves at home. Star.
Oh, it'd be awful.
Star down the bottom in the... Shield competition.
Shield. Hey, when do Uruguay play?
When do Uruguay play?
It's got to be tomorrow or Tuesday.
Wednesday.
Against Fiji.
So we're going to miss that. We'll be in transit.
We won't be in transit because it's 6:15 a.m.
Oh, thank God. Right, I can watch that.
What time's your flight?
12 o'clock. Midday. Just after midday.
I hope there's a bloody strike. No, I don't.
I hope it smashes into the Ural Mountains.
We land in... Osaka at just before 1 a.m. on the Thursday.
What seats have you got? Are you sitting? You all sitting together
For the game?
No. As on the plane.
The plane. Not checked in yet. Right. Don't know. Hopefully, I'll be sitting as far away from JB as I can. So I don't get ill.
That's not true, Phil.
Well, as long as you get noise cancelling headphones, that'll kind of do away with the heavy breathing.
He's tried.
I've tried them before. JB can.
I've caught him before with the earphones in, not listening to anything in an attempt not to make me talk.
Noise cancelling headphones on with nothing, just silence
set to neutral.
So Russia Samoa, Samoa, I think should win that.
Yeah, agreed.
Not Spain.
Are any Tuolangi's playing?
No.
Wow. I never thought that day would come.
So on
I wonder what Andy Tuolangi's doing these days.
On the
Andy, the oldest one.
No,
that's Freddie.
Andy!
The one who got into a fight on Deansgate Locks.
Allegedly.
Famously. They got charged.
Oh, okay.
If you're watching the not Spain Samoa game, watch out for Amosa, the number 8, the enormous Samoa number 8 who plays La Rochelle. And Tim Nanai Williams at 15,
who's
fairly handy as well.
Very handy.
Where's he going? Who's he signed for?
Well, he's at Claremont. I think he's staying at Claremont.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There were some rumours of him coming to an English club.
Ooh.
I don't think he did. Potentially it was Wasps, but they went for
him. Oh, yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah. When they were looking for their big signing, you're right.
They went for Minotti.
Actually, looking through this, they've got some decent players.
Wednesday, we've got Fiji versus Uruguay, which is a short turnaround for Fiji, 4-day turnaround. So hopefully they get... They probably won't have Yato back after he failed his HI, but hopefully they'll have the rest of their stars.
That is the plus side for Fiji. They've got Uruguay and then Georgia before it then is business time and they've got to beat Wales
on
the 9th of October.
Massive. 222 kilogram prop. That's nice.
What?
Sorry, not props. 122.
I was going to say.
Yeah,
there's no prop or there's no one in world rugby who's 222 kilograms.
Teofilo Paolo, Yeah, they've got there were some real names here.
Oh, I can't wait for next Sunday already. Oh, my word. I'm just looking at the fixtures. Australia-Wales next Sunday. A week today. Wow. Where will you be next Sunday?
We were meant to go... is that Tokyo, that game?
No, we are flying to...
Okinawa?
Okinawa.
Yeah. So I don't know if you noticed it, but sometimes these long holidays can be very stressful. So we've booked a miniature holiday inside of our holiday to make sure that we're not overrun with stress and angst.
And we're not working too hard.
Yeah, because, you know...
Okinawa's a very relaxing place.
Apparently
so. It's where Mr. Miyagi was from.
Yes, exactly.
And there's a massive US military base there. So go and see what's knocking around.
Yeah, nice. Are you going to do a pilot episodes pod from the US military base?
That's an interesting question. I've never considered it. I might do.
You might be able to get some accreditation to get you in there for a bit of a bit of hospitality in the American airbase.
With your background?
That's an interesting point. Okay, so yeah, those are the two games. I think we've pretty much run out of everything to say. So shall we finish off? Let's see what.
Let's do it.
Yes. Tim?
Yes. Subscribe. Just bloody subscribe.
Razors, Tim. Razors.
Razors. Oh, I'm going to put that in at the very start because we should have mentioned that already.
Fine.
So you're hearing me talk about it now, but you're going to have already heard me talk about it before.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So yeah, hit subscribe and see you on the next one. Let the boys
go.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.